What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me this week is Mr. Jody Havnot.
Hey, Kiss Army.
And Mr. D-Rock.
How's it going, guys?
It's going very well. I had a very good evening or afternoon. My Atlanta Falcons made it to the Super Bowl.
Nice.
I'm excited. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm a big football fan. I used to be a big, huge baseball fan when I was a kid, and I actually played ball, and I got hurt, and it's hard for me to watch because I used to love it so much. But me and my buddy Chris, who have been, we were roommates for a lot of years. We watched so much football, played it year round on the Sega and shit like that. Nice. You know?
You played Dreamcast football?
I never played Dreamcast.
Sounds like me and Jody on the PlayStation.
I thought Sega made Dreamcast.
No? They did, but they had the Genesis, I think. The thing. And we played it on the Nintendo, you know, the Madden stuff. And,
oh, yeah.
I mean, it would be like 5 in the morning. The sun would be coming up. We'd be into our, like, 8th game, you know.
Sounds like me and D-Rock back in the day.
Yeah, Jody and I used to get together and sit there and talk so much shit to each other.
Well, that's half the fun, dude, you know.
Yeah, John Madden football is... That's the stuff, man. That's, you know.
Yeah, it's fun, man. We used to really like that 2-on-2 basketball, too.
Oh, you're talking
about NBA on NBC.
NBA jams.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you could get on fire and shit where the hoop and the basketball, like, be on fire. And you could do, like, these awesome, like, half-court jumps where your character will, like, go way up off the screen and shit.
Oh, that's right.
Power slams.
Yeah. I used to play NBA Jams a lot, man. It was like, you know, but that was cool. Like in the 90s.
What about Tyson's Punch Out? You remember that?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I never did beat that, dude. Did you?
I don't think many people did.
I made it to Tyson, but I think I only beat him like once. Wow. And I can never do it again. I think it was just like on a fluke.
Yeah, those games were so much fun. There was a Kiss game too for the Dreamcast, right?
Yeah, that's why I bought it. I had it.
It sucked, man.
It sucked. But
yeah, Psycho Circus or something.
And the PlayStation had the pinball, remember?
Yeah, that was equally lame.
Yeah, but Paul and Gene talked in it. It was pretty cool. I play it every once in a while. What's up, guys? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. First of all, I want to take the time and tell you thank you for listening to the show every week. We totally appreciate it. The other thing we wanted to do is fill you in on everything Podcast Rock City gives you during the week. First of all, on PodcastRockCity.com, there's a premium section. If you're interested in getting a little extra Jody and Joe and Podcast Rock City talk during the week, you could go there. Click on the All Access shows and video. It's 99 cents a month. That's it. If you want to pay for a whole year, it's even cheaper, $9.99. There's hours of extra stuff Jody and I are always adding. There's also video of my Kiss room. It's pretty cool. Even the place I work. Also, Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Jody and I do a show, Podcast Rock City Live, on kgfrocks.com. It's Kiss Talk and Kiss Tunes. It's not like the regular show. We actually get to play Kiss music, and that is awesome. Deep cuts and everything. Live stuff. It's killer. So check all that stuff out. Also, don't forget to go to iTunes. Leave us a review. It would mean the world to us. So we'll see you guys next time. In 3, 2, 1, peace. Let's talk. I got a little bit of news.
Podcast Rock City News.
Did y'all see the whole thing with Eddie Trunk and Eric Singer?
No, dude, what?
Okay, so apparently at NAMM, Eric Singer ducked on Eddie Trunk. So apparently they were in a back hall. There was, you know, where a bunch of these musicians hung out. And he said he saw, you know, Eric Singer, and that he was going to go down and say hi. And he and Eric went into some room and apparently wasn't going to come out until Eddie Trunk left. And Eddie Trunk was like, well, you know, I was just going to say hi. I've known the guy for a long time. But it's like, look, I get it, okay? You know, you're doing your business, he's doing his business, and then you're in a hallway where you've basically for years been saying he ain't legitimately a Catman or the Catman. You know what I mean?
Right,
That's what you've been saying. And now when he ducks on you and doesn't want to talk to you, you can't understand why. It's like you're fueling the fire, man.
Yeah, it's like, suppose someone was talking shit about you. That's like one of the last people you're going to give an interview to, you know?
Yeah, and you don't want to talk, you know? And don't get me wrong. He did talk about how great of a drummer, you know, Eric Singer is. But still, anytime you say it bothers you that he's in the Catman makeup, why would he go, oh, you know who I really want to talk to? The guy that I'm bugging.
Yeah.
Right.
The guy that I annoy. I'm a very fair person. It gets me in a lot of trouble because it means I never take sides. But on this one, I'm like, I'm sorry. This is like the Paul Stanley, you know, Slash thing. It's like, you know, you're talking shit about me, and then you call me up and you want me to help you get guitars. It's like, no.
Yeah, fuck off and have a nice life.
Yeah, man, you know, it doesn't make any sense. What do you guys think?
I would do the same thing. I mean, even if you're just in like a small town, you know, hometown band, and you got some press guy talking shit about you, and then when they run into you, oh, let me get an interview. Fuck you, dude. Why do you even want to talk to me? Because all it's going to do is help you and make me look stupid. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm going to look like a punk, you know. You're talking crap, you know, about how it bothers you that I'm in the Catman makeup, but then you want to come up and say hello to me. It's like, where I stand on it is I, you know, personally, grown men, I get it. You could walk over and say hi, but at the same time, you know, if he doesn't want to talk to you because of the, you know, shit you're talking, you know, online, sorry, that's, you know, that's the chance you take, you know?
Is he using it now, just like he used the whole doc thing to just make all this conjecture about this and that?
Well, there was a big, long, he told a big, long story. And
so even Eric not talking to him turns out to be news. Because, I mean, look at us. Yeah. We're sitting here talking about it.
Yep.
Crazy.
Yep, we are. Let's see. Next news item. Something very amazing is happening.
Disclosure.
Yes. The movie masterpiece, Never Too Young to Die, is about to be released on Blu-ray.
Nice.
I mean, does that mean it's going to have bonus features, or is it just going to be the same old shit but a little clearer?
Well, I didn't see anything about bonus features, but man, wouldn't it be awesome if... I mean, do you really need bonus features? If you just go on YouTube, you can find all the shit that they...
Right. What would be really cool is a bonus feature. They include our review of the movie.
Oh,
they can have it for free. Just stick it on there.
Yeah. If you guys haven't had a chance to listen to us talk about Gene Simmons' movie, Never Too Young to Die, just go back a few episodes.
Yeah. This is 138, and it's time to be an android, not a man. And that one was probably what?
Maybe 130, close to there.
Something like that. Not too far long ago.
And Jody D-Rock and I talk about that masterpiece.
Yeah, it is a masterpiece, a film masterpiece.
Yeah. Let's see. Chicago's having an open-air thing, you know, the concert, and Kiss is headlining, I believe it said Friday. But one of the cool things that I wanted to point out was that Megadeth and Anthrax are on the bill that same day. So if you're going to go see Kiss, damn. Yeah. Anthrax, Megadeth, Kiss, that's killer.
That would be pretty cool.
I wonder if Megadeth would end up doing their version of Strange Ways.
You never know.
It's possible, I suppose.
I could tell you this. I looked at the, you know, the headliner for the last night, I think, was Ozzy. and that's cool, but the bands that were going on before him, I wasn't really that impressed with. I don't know, Anthrax, Megadeth, and Kiss sounds cool to me, so.
Oh, yeah.
Be pretty cool. Did you see that also now Gene, like you sent me that link, so we did the show last week about what would happen for the Gene solo tour, and then all of a sudden, now it's been announced that he's doing 5 shows, one of them in St. Louis.
Yes, that's right.
And that's the same month of my birthday, too.
And I did find out how much it costs, and it's not cheap, dude.
What does it cost?
How much is it?
It's $359 a piece, plus like about a $40 fee on each ticket. So it brings it, for 2 tickets, I put it in my card, it was over $800.
Holy shit.
That's what I said, like, fuck, dude.
That's more than a Kiss ticket, because I paid like $200 for handicap seating for the last Kiss concert.
Yeah.
That was $200 a piece for tickets.
Well, now this gets you, you know, you get a picture with Gene, you get like a Q&A, you get to, you know, meet him, and I think that he's doing a show, but it's not going to be there, it's going to be like in a club somewhere, so I'm not sure, which club he's going to go to, but that could be interesting to find out where he's playing, maybe off-Broadway, or I don't even know where he would go, you know, how many seats is he going to need? I don't even know.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. Somebody was mentioning online that on one of the other shows that they went to go and buy a ticket, and it was already sold out.
Really?
Yeah, so wherever he's playing, it may not be a big, huge, you know, seating thing.
I'm wondering, though, if you can just get into the show, I mean, for a reasonable price and not have to, and not really get the whole meet and greet photo op. Because, you know, I mean, that's cool and all. I like to do it. But if I could just go to see him play live for $100, that's what we'll probably do, huh, D-Rock?
I want the meet and greet so I can put the picture up in the studio by the Ace picture.
Yeah, I hear you.
But yeah, that would be cool,
I don't know where he decides his prices. I mean, I was thinking, well, when Ace was at the fucking Comic-Con, it was like $30 to get in. You know what I'm saying? Gene Simmons, right. $400. That's ridiculous, man. As far as I'm concerned. How much was it to for you to go in, where did you go, Virginia?
Virginia, I want to say, now we didn't get a concert, okay, that's important.
Yeah.
We did the meet and greet, we did the Q&A, and we did the photo, you know, and autograph, all that combined, I think was like $199 a piece, so.
So half the price.
I'm going back to, you know, that's like the beginning of October, so I'm trying to remember, but right.
But somewhere in that ballpark.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. I'm actually more interested in seeing him play this solo gig than I am meeting him again, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I might go to Tennessee.
See, I that's what I've been thinking too. Like Tennessee sounds really cool cuz it's outdoors. It's going to be a big party, you know.
Yeah, we can sleep in Sinzak's car.
Plus, it's a little bit more time to save up some ungodly sum of, you know, Kiss ransom money that Gene's demanding.
Ransom money.
You know?
I love that. That's awesome. Okay, so let's move forward.
Okay.
I wanted to point out to you guys, I believe what I read online was that the Kiss Cruise is now open to the general public. So if you were never on a Kiss cruise or didn't sign up for the pre-sale, you can purchase rooms now. And I will tell you, I'm looking at the list right now. I would say, let's see, out of 23 different rooms, style rooms, you know, and only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 are left.
Like total?
8 total, not total rooms, but it's like a style. So it's like an open view for 2 people. So there's only 8 style rooms. All the cheapest rooms are bought. It looks like all the most expensive rooms are bought. So it's the stuff in the middle. So if you want to go on the boat, jump on it. If you're going to, you know, got to jump on it. Also, today is Nick Simmons' birthday.
Oh, yeah?
Happy birthday, Nick.
Happy birthday, Nick.
I know he listens.
Sure he does. He doesn't get enough of Gene in his daily life.
He's a big D-Rock fan.
That very well could be.
Yeah, everybody is. All right, let's talk about our topic for the day.
For the week.
For the week.
Podcast Rock City. Topic of the week.
You know, it's really funny because the other day I sent you a text message and I told you what the topic was gonna be, and then like the very next day I went on the Podkiss Facebook page and they were basically asking the same thing we were, and so I wanted to know, which album do we think is better between Dynasty and Unmasked? You know, when people talk about those two albums, they put them together, you know, side by side.
Yeah, same producer.
Well, yeah. They only came out like a year apart from each other, you know, Dynasty 79 and Unmasked in 80.
Right.
Right. But the thing about it is like those are the two records besides, I would say, Elder, that are the furthest thing from what we always thought of as Kiss, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely a change of the guard, went a little more right. Pop.
So basically what I thought about comparing the two records and deciding which one, A, sounds better, has the best writing, and C, has the most, you know, good songs, you know?
It's tough.
Yeah, it really is. Now, I put out a... I did a Facebook thing where basically I asked listeners to tell me what they thought, you know?
Yeah.
What, you know, but what I did was I asked for best and worst track on Unmasked.
Oh, yeah?
You know?
Okay.
Yeah. And I got quite a few comments, man. People were really into this. So, so let's see. Douglas Levy, he said best Naked City. Then followed by Talk to Me and Tomorrow, Worst, You're All That I Want, followed by Two Sides of the Coin, followed by Torpedo Girl. Joel Hebensberger said the best is That You and the worst is You're All That I Want. It's really strange, man, because I love every one of these songs. Right. It says the best song is Naked City. That's kind of a popular one. Worst, Easy As It Seems, and that was Eric Quillette. So basically, it just keeps, I would say, okay, so I'll tell you best worst from there on. So it's Is That You best, You're All That I Want worst, Talk to Me best, Easy As It Seems worst, best Naked City worst, You're All That I Want. I like that song.
I do too.
You know, and then when I asked which album they thought was the best, it was overwhelming for Dynasty.
Really?
So now we got to talk about
Hi.
It. Now I can tell you that I've listened to Unmasked 100 times more often than Dynasty. What about you guys?
Yeah, me too, definitely. I told you before, but I mean, Unmasked was the second Kiss album I ever had, so I played it to death. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's really special to me. So I don't know if I can be that objective. I'd have to say I love Unmasked a lot more.
What do you think, D-Rock?
I liked Unmasked better because, I mean, it just seemed like Dynasty. It really just didn't seem like Kiss, you know? And, you know, Unmasked just seemed like they were trying to get back to the Kiss, you know, you know, their trademark sound and everything. But yet at the same time, I could really do without a lot of the songs with, you know, the organs and the keyboards and crap in it. That just didn't seem like Kiss. So right.
Yeah, like I think that Unmasked has sounds more disco-y than Dynasty. Like I definitely prefer the production on Dynasty. It's heavier, you know, but I like the right. songs better on Unmasked because I think they're better. And you get better Gene songs because what do you got on Dynasty? You get Charisma, which is great. And what else? X-Ray Eyes? You know? But this one, you get Naked City. You get... What else do you get? She's So European. You get You're All That I Want. Is that all you get? Let's see. Yeah, I think that's all of them. I don't know. I like Charisma a lot, but you get three Gene songs here.
Yeah.
I think most people think we're nuts if we say that we like Unmasked better because it is even a further step from... You know how dynasty everyone tags as disco. Well, Unmasked is tagged as even something even worse, you know?
Yeah, I mean, to me, you know, Unmasked is more Duran Duran.
Or Hall & Oates or just pop, but I love it, dude. I love those songs.
Yeah, I thought that Kiss did pop very well.
Yeah.
You know, I really think that those songs, you know, could have been played on the radio.
Yeah.
No problem. No problem. They would have fit in exactly, you know.
Yeah. If Kiss wasn't already, like, the bloated animal they had become, you know.
Yeah. I even remember there being, like, not PM Magazine. It was, like, Entertainment Tonight, you know.
Yeah.
And Talk to Me got used one night when I was watching it. It was right around when the record came out. It might have been a little bit after. But I remember them doing something, and they were talking about, if my memory is right, they were talking about how there was one actor that wanted to talk to somebody else about doing a movie or something, and they were playing Talk to Me in the background. I thought it was pretty cool.
That is cool.
I like that song. I love that song. You know, I don't like the live version that they always play.
Yeah, but think about this, though. Just in terms of live, look at a Dynasty show and look at an Unmasked show and tell me which one sounds better. I mean, it's pretty fucking obvious, isn't it?
I don't know.
It is to me, dude.
To me, the Dynasty show is better.
You're insane. You've lost it, though.
See?
Well, I mean, they're so loose and they sound like such ass. But then you get them with Eric Carr, man. They sound great. Look at Sydney versus Largo, 79. And you tell me.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The Sydney one I love.
Yeah, Unmasked tour.
Hey. Oh, okay, that's what I said, isn't it?
No, you said you thought Dynasty sounded better.
Yeah, you said Dynasty.
Oh, I apologize. That's not what I meant. No. Okay, I was just thinking about it. No. Yeah, the Sydney show is amazing.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they were totally revitalized, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I think is so cool about Unmasked. It's like, yeah, they were pretty much dead in the water here, but if you look at, there's so much killer news footage and everything from Australia and Kiss in 80. They were as big as the Beatles, and it's super exciting if you watch any of that shit, because I love seeing Kiss on top, you know? I don't want to see the bloated band on Dynasty with just sounding like shit, and Peter doesn't care, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It drug Ace down pretty bad, and then when Eric got back in, it was like, he was like, whoa.
Plus,
this
he's
is fun
so
again.
Much more solid than Peter was in 79, you know, drums-wise.
Yeah.
They just sound, it's night and day, dude. I'm glad that I thought for a second, it's like, man, he thinks Dynasty sounds better? That's crazy.
No, I swear to you, I meant to say Unmasked.
I feel you. That's what I thought you meant. Yeah, I mean,
the Sydney thing, you know, if you go online and watch even the documentary, like
The Inner Sanctum.
Inner Sanctum is so much fun to watch, and you know, and Kiss is barely in it, you know?
It's still really cool,
you know?
Did you get those tweets I sent to you this morning? Did you watch any of that shit?
I didn't get them. I'm going to have to check it out. What was it?
Just some Australian news stuff. But they were saying at that show in Melbourne they did in 80, there was 45,000 people. You know how we were just talking about GNR and the 46, you know?
Right, yeah.
I thought that was interesting because apparently Kiss played to 45,000 people in Melbourne at that time. So, I mean, it's like, you know, like Beatlemania, but Kiss, what is it, Kisteria, you know?
Kisteria.
But I just think it's really cool that in 1980 they were so huge off of Unmasked, you know, because it is a good album, but here in the States they had already done the damage, you know? Between the solo albums, Phantom of the Park, and then the disco album. There was no way Unmasked could succeed, you know? And that's a shame.
I just think that, you know, maybe after Dynasty, people just kind of thought, yeah, okay, they're done. You know, and just didn't have the interest to get the album, you know?
Exactly. Everyone, you know, the backlash of this disco album. But in reality, Dynasty is not a disco album. But can you imagine Unmasked with the sound and production of Dynasty, just the guitars and, like, none of those damn keys? It would have been so much cooler.
Yeah, I think so.
But song for song, Dynasty does have a lot of really good ones too. So there's 11 on Unmasked. How many are on Dynasty? It's a smaller number, if I'm not mistaken.
Isn't it 9?
It's only like nine songs.
Dynasty. Okay, so on Dynasty you have I Was Made for Loving You, 2000, Should Know Something, Dirty Living, Charisma, Magic Touch, Hard Times, X-Ray Eyes, and Save Your Love, right? Now, how many of these 9 do you really, really, really love? Because I know.
Well, I do love the first track.
Okay.
Oh, definitely.
I can pass on X-Ray Eyes.
Me too. It's a throwaway. What about 2000?
I like Charisma. 2000 Man, I like.
Dirty Living's great. Sure Know Something's great. Hard Times is pretty great. But that, so you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I don't know. 6 of 9. I mean, that's not bad.
Yes. 66%.
I only really care for like 2 of the songs off Dynasty. You know, the others, I really can't, yeah. You know, wrap my mind around, you know.
Okay, well, let's look at Unmasked. You got Is That You, Shandy, Talk to Me, Naked City, What Makes the World Go Round, Tomorrow, Two Sides of the Coin, She's So European, Easy as It Seems, Torpedo Girl, and You're All That I Want. Now, how many of those 11 do you, like, totally love?
It's not fair. I love every song on that record. I don't know. You know, I can't tell if it's okay, between the two records, one's a little thinner than the other, okay?
Definitely. Production-wise, you know, yeah.
Production-wise. But I seem to like that, you know, for that record. For Unmasked, man, it's like, every song is catchy and every song is, I don't know, man. It's just to me, it's a really good record. I think that it, you know, if Dynasty wouldn't have come out, oh, I don't know if I want to make that statement. If Dynasty wouldn't have come out, in my opinion, and always remember, because that's all this is.
You're saying if Unmasked came out in the place of Dynasty, what would be the result?
Yeah, I think that there would have been a few more hits off of that record, man. I think that because of Dynasty and Kiss, you know, had I Was Made for Loving You, you know, when they were forced to play that, you know, because the fans wanted it, people wanted it, became a hit, you know.
Right.
But I think that if people would have had the opportunity to hear, you know, Naked City, or, you know.
Yeah, but knowing Kiss, dude, if Unmasked came out as in the place of Dynasty, what if they would have led off with Shandy? That would have been even worse for the diehard Kiss people, don't you think?
Yeah, it would have. But look at how much attention it got them overseas. That song was such a huge hit.
Right. Do you Shandy think, though? Great. Yeah, Shandy's great, but I guess it's because, okay, so Kiss had kind of started to wane, and like 77's kind of the peak, right?
Right.
So 78, and they're kind of on a downward trajectory, but then they hit 80 everywhere else. They're huge, right? Or was it 79 because of I Was Made for Loving You, I guess, right?
Right, right.
Okay, so it just took those people a couple years because of no internet to catch on to Kiss. Is that why it became such a worldwide hit? Or is it because it sounded like disco or whatever, you know?
Well, I think that what happened was you had, it took, you know, first of all, Shandy broke overseas in like Australia.
Right.
That was, I mean, people started naming their kids Shandy.
Yeah.
You know, which is probably a popular name there already, I'm guessing. But, you know, it became, you know, this thing where I read about it. You know, they were like, that became one of the most popular names, you know, to name your kid.
That's cool.
Because of the song, you know?
That is cool.
Go ahead.
I like Shandy, but I think, in a way, it sounds a lot like the Bee Gees. You know, and
Joe Walsh.
It reminds me of something that you would couple skate at a skating rink when you're a kid, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely
but,
Kiss
I mean,
doing
still,
the whole...
All in all, it's still a great song, you know, but it's just got like a weird feel to it, you know?
Yeah, dude, it's Kiss doing like Blue-Eyed Soul, like Hall & Oates. That's the way I always heard it. I like it. The Rototoms are pretty funny.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
And who played drums on that? Anton Figg?
Yeah. Oh, Anton.
So,
I got a question for you guys, though. Okay, we all know, you know, that this was like when Peter Criss was getting ready to leave the band and everything, you know, and was, you know, kind of throwing the hint out there, you know, with him winking, you know, on the the cover, you know, like his goodbye or whatever, you know. But but don't you find it kind of weird, you know, that Gene wrote, you know, that song Naked City with Bob Kulick, though?
Yeah, I think it's cool. I mean, but they'd worked with Bob on Alive 2, on Killers. It makes sense.
Yeah, Bob, it, you know, Bob and Paul became really close, so
yeah,
it got to the point where, you know, anytime they felt like they needed, or especially Paul, I mean, he did the solo album with him, right?
Solo album, tour in the 80s.
Because I know that, like, that Vinny guy, you know, was helping with writing a lot of the songs, you know, on that album, too.
It's always
Vinny Ponce.
It's always weird that, you know, it's like we've talked about it on Dynasty, but they bring in Peter's producer, and then Peter doesn't even play on either record, you know?
Yeah. They tried, you know, ultimately, that's it goes back to that whole thing, you know, using Vinny Ponce. They were trying to make Peter happy, you know?
To hold it together.
Yeah, and by the time they got to Unmasked, he was out. You know, he was done. He wasn't coming back. But still, for me, okay. So Unmasked comes out, and I'm still young enough that I don't realize that that's not Peter on the drums. To me, it just sounds like drumming. In which case, that's got to be the Catman because he's on the cover.
Right.
You know, but I used to lay in my bunk bed on the top bunk and read that cover over and over. The Unmasked cover is 100 times better than...
Better than Dynasty cover?
Yeah, I love that. Man, it gives me something to do.
See, I think we're in the minority because almost every other Kiss fan hates the Unmasked cover, but I like it too, man. I think it's cool. And that's why I picked it when I was a kid. Like, when I was a kid and was getting into Kiss, once I had one album, I decided that every freaking week when I got my allowance, I'm getting another Kiss record. You know what I mean? So I go to the store and just look through them, and whichever one I thought looked cool, because I didn't know anything about it, really, you know? So Unmasked grabbed my eye when I was like, I don't know, 9, 10 years old, some shit like that. And so, it has its merits. Side boobage.
I was drawn to it because I was always into drawing, you know, and I was always into comic books and that too, you know, and so, I mean, that's what really caught my eye with it, you know, was the whole cartoon thing, you know.
Yeah, I always felt like Peter's makeup looked weird on the cover of Dynasty.
Yeah, it's all, like, non-symmetrical.
Yeah, like, he was rushing it, and then, you know, I remember the first time I saw Ace on the cover, you know, the drawing of Ace with the wings up in the air. Yeah, you know,
so cool.
I was like, oh, man, that is a killer costume. They really knew. Of course, that's not the way it really looked, although they really should have done that.
That would have been cool.
It would have been cooler.
Let me ask you this, because all the Kiss people always make some big stink about that last panel where it's like, I still say they suck or they stink.
Right.
Is that offensive to you? Because it doesn't matter to me.
I think it's humor.
Yeah,
I think it's
supposed to be funny. Everyone's
funny,
like,
at themselves. Yeah,
everyone gets their panties in a twist about it. It's really not that big of a deal, folks.
Yeah, I think they're. I think it's just them poking fun at themselves. That, you know, I think, you know, in my opinion, what they're saying there is I don't know. He's saying, I still say they stink, even though it looks like the place is packed, you know?
Exactly. It's like, it's just like the promo for the album where they tell a little story about the reporter. You've heard that, right?
That pesky photographer keeps trying to catch Kiss off guard. Ace and Peter are intercepted.
Hey, Kiss, look this way. Nuts!
Then he tracks down Paul at a restaurant.
Come on, shucks!
But Kiss has the last laugh. Kiss Unmasked, the all-new album on Casablanca Records and Tricks. Kiss Unmasked.
Available at Budget Tapes and Records.
Kiss has the last laugh, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like, not a big deal, man. It's supposed to be funny. It's like saying, look, critics have always said we suck, but look, we're still kicking ass. We're still selling out, you know, 45,000 people in Melbourne, you know?
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's really strange, you know. And then, you know, the poster on the inside of Dynasty, I liked. I liked the one on the inside of Unmasked.
Very similar.
Yeah, especially the bottom picture, you know.
Yeah.
But the Peter winking thing is pretty, you know, that's like, you know, their version of Paul being barefoot.
Yeah, or the Black Rose, or yeah, that's cool. Throwback to the Beatles, you can never go wrong with that.
So, I mean, so, all right, so for me, I enjoy and love listening to Unmasked more. What about you, D-Rock?
I like Unmasked more because it just sounds more like Kiss, you know? I mean, Dynasty was too disco-y, you know? And I mean, and I don't know about you, but I mean, even on both the albums, it just really seemed like the A songs were just really struggling, you know?
You think?
Which was kind of really disappointing to me, you know?
But. See, that's the awesome thing about our show, man. Three of us, we all have different opinions, because I love the A songs on Dynasty.
I do too, man.
And I like them on Unmasked.
Hell yeah.
But that's the thing about Kiss fans, man. They're, you know, they look for certain things, and they hope for certain things, and they're not afraid to admit, oh, yeah. Well,
but, I mean, think about it. Anyway. Listen to the 2000 man. He's talking about growing flowers on his windowsill and talking about his kids, you know, and it's just like,
but that's a cover. That's a cover song.
It's a cover, though. It's a Rolling Stones song.
Yeah, I know, but, I mean, still, it's not.
I think Ace thought it was Ace because it was about the future, and that somewhat has to do with space.
Yeah,
time.
Yeah.
Time.
And what are the funny flowers he's talking about?
You know.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't Ace. You know, I mean, you got Rocket Ride. Yeah. You got Shock Me. Yeah. You know, but
Bullshit.
I mean.
No, I get what you're saying.
You know, you listen to these other songs, you know, and like Torpedo Girl.
Yeah, I can't imagine Ace so cool. Surfing.
I mean, I love Ace, you know, and I mean, the guitar and everything was killer, but I mean, it just, it wasn't him, you know, it just seemed like they were struggling, you know, with his songs, you know.
I'll give you Torpedo Girl, even though I like it a lot. It's clearly kind of a silly song, and I can't really believe that it made the record, but it did, you know. But
yeah.
What about... I mean, Talk to Me is one of the best songs ever, don't you think?
No, I was disappointed with it. Like I said, I felt, you know, that all the songs that Ace did, they were just thrown in there, you know?
You're hurting me, brother. You're hurting me. Talk to Me rules. I don't care what you say.
Hey, listen. Like Joe said, that's why there's three of us. We have three different opinions.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Hey, you guys out there listening to the show, first of all, I want to tell you that I appreciate it. But the other thing I wanted to tell you is you tell us what you think. Podcast Rock City 1.
That's the number
one. That's the number one.
Thank you. @gmail.com. You know, let us know what you think. Which album's better? You know, why is D-Rock crazy and Jody and I are not? And no, I'm kidding.
Everybody that listens to this show knows that I'm the crazy bastard.
It's true. So. It is true. But, you know, tell us where we're wrong or tell us where we're right. Which, you know, what album, you know, like I said, what album is better than the other, and what songs are the good ones and which ones are the bad ones. No, always remember, you could go on Facebook. We have a page, Podcast Rock City, and I'm trying, because I'm very busy. That's not true. I lied right there. I'm not busy. I'm trying to keep up with the Facebook page and post little things for us to talk about every day, you know, and this week was the Unmasked album. So yeah, come on there, give us your opinion. It's really really cool.
Let me ask you this before we get off of this subject. Since we're all Paul dudes, let's take a look at the Paul songs and his writing between the two, right?
Yeah.
And see where that really falls.
That's are where we it talking all about comes writing down. Or singing?
Well, both.
Because he didn't write one of like my favorite song on there, right?
It's That You. We can just count. Yeah. When I say a Paul song, I mean the ones he did on the album. Singing.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'd never have a Peter Criss song to talk about.
That's true. Not even Beth.
Okay, so on Dynasty, we got I Was Made, obviously. Sure Know Something, Magic Touch. Is that it for Paul? Let's see. Yeah, I guess that is it for Paul. That seems odd. But, yeah, 3 of 9. Okay. So, I think he was doing pretty well, because I like all three of those songs.
Yeah, I like all three. Sure Know Something's a classic.
Yeah, and so is Magic Touch.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned. Play they kicked ass on that One Live Kiss, for sure. Definitely. Okay, well then, on a mask, you got what? Is That You, Shandy, What Makes the World Go Round, Tomorrow, Easy As It Seems. Is that it? Yeah, that's it.
So I like all those songs too. Tomorrow. I like a lot. I like
That'd be my favorite one on that one too.
Which one?
Tomorrow.
Oh yeah, my favorite as well. Love that damn song.
Especially since me and you had so much fun recording that with Clinton, you know, in the studio. It was awesome.
Yeah, it turned out pretty good. I like that What Makes the World Go Round. Not a lot of people ever talk about that song and how great it is.
But yeah, his vocals is great on it. Yeah. His vocals, yeah.
It's like a soulful Paul, you know?
Yeah, well, I found out. Yeah, I'm singing. It's all good.
Yeah. I love that damn song. Shandy's, you know, we've talked about Shandy. Is That You? I really like Is That You live. It's so much heavier. And it's a little bit, has a little bit more tempo, which, you know, I'm a fan of. You like it live or studio better, Joe?
I think I like the studio version better.
Yeah. I like the studio version too, but live it just has a little bit more chunk and tempo, which is pretty cool. You know, that whole Unmasked tour. It's a shame that they weren't big enough to tour the States in that, because I think, you know, a lot of people's last time seeing Kiss was the Dynasty tour, and it left a bad taste in their mouth. I think that's why when they came back on, like, Creatures, that it was so poorly attended, you know?
Yeah.
That and a lot of the people had grown up a bit since then, too, so you got to account for that.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? And it's like, you know, when you mentioned the whole grown up thing, you know, that's a good point, because if you look at like, look at the Harry Potter series, right? When the Harry Potter books started out, the girl that wrote it, what's her name? J.K. Rowling. She wrote for a
Hello.
That was my dad.
Might as well take it.
She wrote for a small little kid, you know, that type of thing, you know?
A younger demographic.
Yeah, she was aimed at the younger franchise.
Right, but as the songs went on, or as the books went on, she started writing for, you know, the kids' age is changing.
Yeah, she started going for a more mature, you know.
That's smart, point. Man. That's the way to do it. That way you keep your core audience and you grow with them. You know, it's hard for a band to do that, though.
Yeah, you know, so when Kiss was moving on, you know, they I don't know, it feels like they changed with the times. I mean, I have to say that as music went on, I mean, I loved Kiss, but I was changing with the times as well. I started getting into pop music and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, it's like the MTV generation kind of influenced.
Yeah, so I totally understood why Kiss would have tried to change, you know, along, but I guess the kids just didn't want it.
See, I think Kiss made a mistake when if they were going to follow trends, they should have jumped on the punk thing in like 77 instead of going the super pop way, because they could have been making records like the Ramones were making, and it would have still been heavy, and they wouldn't have lost any of their classic, you know, fans that want them to be heavy.
Right. And, you know, we knew that they can write stuff like that because Dress to Kill.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I'd love if they would have kind of been more punk influenced, but at the same time, I love Unmasked, you know? Take it as
it is. Right. Yeah. It's one of, you know, curiosity. I wonder what would have come out of them, you know?
I don't know. Even at that time, though, the Ramones were kind of going through their dynasty phase, if you will, because End of the Century is kind of like overproduced and doesn't sound as raw as their original four records, you know? But anyway, let's get off the Ramones. This isn't a Ramones cast.
No, it's okay. That's
I could go on and on about the Ramones, as you know.
That's for a different show.
Yeah. Side podcast.
All right, so final thoughts. I love both. I like both records, but I love Unmasked more.
I do too, but I think most people will think we're nuts for that. But you and I both got those records when we were pretty young, you know?
Yeah. I was 9, I guess.
D-Rock, how old were you when you finally got Unmasked? Much older, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I was about 13 or 14 when I got it.
So at that time, there was already a Metallica and shit, so Unmasked probably sound pretty pussy to you.
Well, a little, but, I mean, I'm still undecided, or I'm still kind of torn between the two albums, you know? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, there are a lot of songs on there that I really like a lot, you know, but then there are also songs in there that I could just skip over and not even listen to.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, I'm still with you guys, though. You know, I mean, I still think Unmasked was the better of the two.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, don't forget, tell us what you think. PodcastRockCity1@gmail.com. You send me a message, I will read it and tell you how you're probably smarter than I am. It's just. Give us your opinion. Tell us what you think. You know, it would be really cool if any of you guys out there have any good recordings of the stuff when they recorded for Unmasked. I'd love to hear it. The only thing I've ever heard, and I don't know if I'm just looking in the wrong places, that's the Sydney show.
I've seen some other footage. No, I don't think I've seen anything like a full show anywhere else.
Yeah.
But I've seen clips, you know.
Absolutely.
Palladium clips. I'd like to see that whole Palladium gig, man. That's what I really want to see.
Yeah, they're holding on to that.
Yeah, you think? You would think by now. I mean, Eric Carr's been dead for forever. You know, it sucks.
Yeah.
They could have honored him by now.
Maybe they're gonna. I don't know, man. I can't speak for them because it seems like they're nuts for not putting all that stuff out already anyway.
This is Ken Sharp, author of the Kiss book, Behind the Mask, and Nothing to Lose, which I co-wrote with Gene and Paul. You're listening to Podcast Rock City.
So that's it for the show this week. Thank you guys for listening. Joe, do you got anything to add at the end here?
I would add, thanks for listening, all you people that do listen. We really do appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. D-Rock.
I just like to say that I hope that our listeners can say a prayer for my dad, because his health's just not doing really good. He's really, really slipping into a bad time. And I'm really debating on if he's going to make it through the year. So,
I'm sorry to hear that, D-Rock. I will absolutely say a prayer, and I'm sure most people listening will as well. Yeah, I'm sorry, dude. Yeah. Let's see. Don't forget, you can go to podcastrockcity.com and check out the website. All the shows are on there. And don't forget, check out kissasylum.com. That's a great website. They post all our shows and a bunch of other news, and it's good to keep up with Kiss. And, you know, we love Kiss podcasts, and you will hear all the commercials for the ones that we love after our show in 3, 2, 1, peace.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. Kiss! It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Greetings from Jandel Kiss Army. Strange Ways Podcast is having a rock and roll party, and you are invited. Right. Tune in and hang out with your Kiss Army bros, where they celebrate and discuss the Gods of Thunder. Kiss. You can find the Earth versions on Podomatic, iTunes, Facebook, and Stitcher. Just Google us.
Yes.
Thanks for listening, and remember to eat it like a piece of cake.
History Science Theater, the most civilized.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck me. Come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine G with like a washed up bass. Boom, 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 boom,
boom, boom. And serious.
No, wait.
Excuse me, Bob. You're going to come over and do my album.
Kiss Podcast on the web. History Science Theater. We bust balls because we can.
All right, Kiss Army. Since 2007, you've been getting podcast, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
That's right, it's your podcast. Every month, the podcast crew, along with the Kiss Room, brings you Kiss talk like no one else, whether it be roundtables, interviews with the band past and present, analysis, and great Kiss fun.
Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to Podkiss.
Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to Podkiss.
The Podkiss, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
Hey everybody, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
And we're from the Decibel Geek Podcast. And if you love this...
then you'll love us.
That's right. Brand new episode every single Monday. You can find us on iTunes and at decibelgeek.com. And the best thing is, it's rock and roll and it's always free.
Ladies and gentlemen, do you like metal, punk rock, hardcore, and cracking jokes about being a fan? Yes? Then check out Music the Lifeblood, the podcast that goes deep into the core of being a fan with new music from badass bands, band and genre discussions, along with in-depth interviews from some of punk, metal, and hardcore's titans. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Tumblr, and Facebook. Something old, something new, what are you listening to?
Music, the lifeblood. Baby, you know it's only you and me. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all I need. A generation
behind. We're going nowhere, and that's just fine. I'm afraid I've given you all the time I can spare at the moment, my dear. You'll have to come back. Thank you, and goodbye.